Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. You know, it's kind of surreal for me right now. About a year ago on this Sunday, was actually my first sermon as a pastor here at Blessed Savior. And looking at the readings for this week, Ephesians caught my eye because it talks about being blessed and having many blessings. And I can say God has truly blessed me in being your pastor here for a year. It's been a wonderful experience, and I cannot help but think of how God will continue to richly bless us. But that word blessing is something that also keeps coming to my mind. For all my friends on Facebook, all my church worker friends, they would sometimes have the thing hashtag blessed whenever something happens good in their life. And then I thought, what is a blessing? Why are people just saying, oh, I'm blessed because I have this? Maybe there are many blessings in our lives. We can feel blessed that we have a good job. We can feel blessed that it's not 96 degrees at 8 o'clock in the morning. We can feel blessed when we can see water and rain coming from the sky and knowing that at least our flowers and our garden will be watered for once. We can feel blessed when we see our child's face smile. We can feel blessed when everything seems to be going right in our lives. So is that all that blessings are? Good things that we should be happy for? I kept thinking about that term, blessed, and blessings. And as I was going through in Minneapolis this past week, I met up with a pastor friend of mine. And he told me, this is how he sees blessings. Blessings are the things in your life in which you thank God for. He took that because he said, let us bless the Lord, thanks be to God, from our liturgy. And so that got me even thinking more about the blessings of which Paul was speaking about here in the first letter to Ephesians, in the first chapter. Paul actually starts his entire letter off with blessings, but he actually doesn't give them to the people, but he says what they already have, the blessings which the Lord has already provided for them, and there are three. And these three blessings are the source of every blessing that we have ever experienced in our lives. You might be wondering, well, how is that possible? There's only three of them. But Paul goes into detail with these blessings and explains why they are so important for us as Christians, and especially here today in this world. Paul begins and says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he, this is God the Father, chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purposes of his will. And here lies the first blessing that Paul gives to the people at Ephesus and to us. We have been predestined to be God's adopted children. Now, that word predestination is kind of a tricky term. It's been used many times throughout our Christian history as something that we are predestined as Christians to go to heaven. Now, there has been some error in many theology where some people do believe that when you are predestined to go to heaven, then some are automatically predestined to go to hell. That is not the case. Predestination, with what Paul was talking about here, is a blessing and not a curse, which if you make it into a double predestination, it becomes a curse. But no, this is a blessing, because even before the foundation of the world, God knew you. God knew his plans for you. He knew exactly how he will use you to accomplish his will. And furthermore, he loved you even before you're, as my mother and father would say, a twinkle in your father's eye. He knew you, and he blessed you, because even before you were formed in your mother's womb, he called you by name, and you were his, and nothing can snatch you from him. He made you his children, adopted sons and daughters in Christ. And that is something to have a blessing for. But these blessings that Paul gives us out are also not only there to embolden us, to encourage us, but they're also there to teach us. Something my parents had said to me over and over and over in my life was that, Matthew, what you do impacts us. This was usually when I was a rowdy kid and I was banging on the back of the pew, interrupting the sermon of the pastor by saying, that looks easy, I can do that. I was a rambunctious kid. I have no clue how my parents put up with me. But it was that phrase, what you do impacts us and reflects upon us. Truly, we are blessed because we have been adopted as sons and daughters in Christ. And yes, we are predestined by him to go, by Christ, to go to heaven. But we are sons and daughters in this world. And so our actions are looked upon by this world. They see us. People in the world, they see the church. There have been many times when there have been communities around the world who have seen the good that the church has done. And sometimes the silence of the church, when they don't help in their communities when something happens, when they aren't friendly to people on the street, when people know that that person is a Christian and yet they live a life that is against the word of God, the will of God. So we are blessed by being God's sons and daughters. But with that blessing comes work. For we must be a living example of Christ in this world, the true Son of God. And that flows right into Paul's next blessing, through Christ. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. It is this second blessing which Paul speaks about now through Jesus Christ. Whenever we know and hear about Jesus Christ in a sermon, we usually are using it as pastors to say, he is dead, he died to our sins, and he rose again to new life in heaven. And indeed, this is a blessing. It is a blessing that even though we will fall away from the word of God, even though we will not always act as perfect sons and daughters to our Father, there is Christ who saves us, who when we do wrong, God does not look upon us, but sees the blameless Christ. That is indeed a blessing. But it is not the only blessing that we have in Christ. Paul says, through him we know the mysteries of his will. When I was in high school, people were always asking me, because they knew I wanted to be a pastor. I was very vocal about that. But they always asked me, how do you know that God wants you to be a pastor? How do you know what to do for God? How do you know what it even means to be a Christian? Sometimes I couldn't think of a word to say. It's hard. How do we even know the will of God? How do we know what God wants for us? How do we know what God wants for the world? In fact, how do we even know what God wants to do in this world? Why there are intense heat waves, that hurts so many farmers who are trying to desperately get their crops and making sure there's plenty of water so no famine occurs? Why are there hurricanes that are being destructive all across the world? Why is there pain and suffering? What is the will of God? And here we receive this blessing, to know the will of God. For everything, the will of God was made manifest in Christ Jesus. See, Christ Jesus is more than just someone that we can say forgave our sins and raised to life and now reigns with God our Father in heaven. It is through him that we know what God's will is on earth. We know exactly what God wants from us and wants even for his creation. What did Jesus do? He healed the sick, opened the eyes of the blind, stilled the storms. He walked on turbulent water. He taught. He forgave. He cried. He ate. He died. God's will was made perfect in Christ. For we know that God wants his world to come back to him. We see it happening in Christ, because God has the power to still those storms. He has the power to heal everyone. And for 3 years on earth, there was peace like none other. Where Christ walked, there we caught a glimpse of the true kingdom of God, where there was no suffering, no pain, no sickness, and no death. And that is the blessing we have in Christ. For we know the will of God. It is to come again and make what happened those 3 years in the early ADs a reality here on earth. A reality that even though amidst all the suffering and all the pain of this world, we know that coming soon is Jesus, who will make all things into him. And as Paul said, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. That's wonderful. That's a great blessing to be sons and daughters. To know that Christ is coming again and to know we know God's will through him. But then there's still the question, how do I know? How can I be sure? When someone comes up and asks to me, why is it that you believe these things? You can't see it. You can't hope for it. Can you? What is the guarantee that this is going to happen? What is your proof that you have this? And this is the third blessing that Paul speaks on. In him also, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. Once again, this blessing is twofold. We all, as Christians, have the Holy Spirit within us. And through this, it produces faith. Faith to believe in the promises of God. Faith to trust in his word. And faith to come before him even when we mess up. But there is another blessing. When you don't know if you truly are forgiven. When you don't know if what the promises of God are sure of. And yes, even when you don't know, can I really be saved? And I know it might sound, for some, it might seem, well, how can that happen? We know we're saved. But the devil works hard in us. He constantly says, are you sure about that? Are you really sure that Jesus lived in the time that he said he did? Are you really sure you can trust in the promises of God? Are you absolutely certain that you are His son or daughter? If we were by ourselves, and even just hearing these promises, it would be hard. These questions were asked by many Christians throughout history. They were asked of it by me. And I'm pretty sure that in your life, someone asked you those same questions. How can you be sure? And this is the blessing of the Holy Spirit. To know that, how do we know that we are God's? We were baptized. How do we know that we have the Holy Spirit? We were baptized. How do we know that we have the forgiveness of sins? We were baptized. And also, there is the promises of forgiveness in Christ's body and blood, which we believe are the true body and blood because of the Holy Spirit and His faith in us. This is the promise that we hold on to, because God lives in us. God has given us a portion and a seal and a promise that all the things that He said are ours are indeed ours because of the Holy Spirit, because of your baptism, because of eating and His body and drinking His blood. You have forgiveness and life. These are the blessings of God, through which all blessings come from. The blessings of knowing that we are His forever. Even before we even were born or even thought of, God knew us and saved us. We have the promise of redemption in Christ, that our sins are forgiven and that we know the will of God, that we are blessed to know that this is what God's world will look like. That there will be peace, that there will be no more death, that there will be no more sadness. And we know we have all of this because we are blessed with the Holy Spirit, who gives us faith and the promise that those blessings are ours. There is so much to be thankful for. So many words of thanksgivings, of blessings. We could go on probably for hours knowing that. But let us now know these blessings. Let us know that we are sons and daughters and go out into the world to show the blessings of Christ to all who need it, to go and to boldly proclaim that we are indeed blessed. Amen.